So fun, huh? It's part of the beauty of this community this time of year, and the exhaustion of the community this time of year. We're going to tell the truth. So in honor of our graduates, we'll have a quiz this morning at the end of the scripture reading, all right? Are you ready for that, older ones? All of you without medals this morning, we'll have a quiz after our scripture reading this morning. To make it easier, we'll put all of the scripture reading on the test in case you're on the screen. In case you're a visual learner, you can read it all while I speak it. And then I'll ask you a question. Psalm chapter 8 is our reading this morning. Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than the heavens. We don't even know how high that is. Your translation might say the highest of heavens. Lord, our Lord, you made your glory higher than the heaven. From the mouths of nursing babies, you've laid a strong foundation because of your foes in order to stop your vengeful enemies. When I look at the skies, the poet says, when I look at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You've made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork. You've put everything under their feet, all the sheep, all the cattle, the wild animals too, the birds in the air, the fish in the ocean, everything that breathes, the pathways of the sea. We hear the refrain again now at the end of the poem, and we ought to hear it a little differently. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 have all been prayers for intervention and help, prayers from the overwhelmed, prayers for those who needed something, and now we come to Psalm 8, the only psalm and the only hymn in the Old Testament entirely directed to God. One author calls it a whopping good hymn. A whopping good hymn, Psalm chapter 8. There are three truths this morning. Three truths that are all basic and life-changing. Number one, God is extraordinary. Number two, creation is stunning. Number three, humans are what? You heard the scripture read this morning. God is extraordinary, creation is stunning, humans are something. I'm going to give you a little longer to think. God is extraordinary. Must we really repeat that this morning? Look at all the praise that was sung to God. We all came here today because of God. You returned your offerings to God for God's work in the community. Must we really repeat this morning? God is extraordinary, the poet wants us to know. I don't know, must we repeat it? How was your week? We must repeat it. It's why we come to church, to repeat this very basic truth. God is ordinary, extraordinary, because every day this week, we've attempted to master our own lives and our own community. Every day we command the world and our family according to our own needs, the needs of the ones we love. In a world where this is how we survive, actually, and how we get along, you feel the tension? This is why we come to church, so we can say again, God is extraordinary. Yes, we have to say it again. Oh Lord, our Lord, an interesting construction. Oh Yahweh, oh Adonai, unusual. You're our sovereign. You have the power, is what verse 1 says. In the heights of heaven, all the way to the dust of the earth, this is God's story. Every human sound, even babies just learning to cry and coo and gurgle at the breast, even babies know. And their sounds are to praise you. God, you're extraordinary, Psalm 8 says. Two verses, the poet sets everything straight. A few weeks ago when we were texting in and taking inventory of why church, why we do this thing, church. This is my number one reason. I come to church, I'm in a community because I have to be reminded that I am not God. God is extraordinary. Psalm 8 tells us. Number two, creation is stunning. The psalmist in the night sky, we imagine looking up and taking it all in. The psalmist can't go to the website Hubble.net and look at the images, right? The poet writing in this time, in this place, cannot possibly understand what we've learned now in science classes and planetariums with telescopes. The poet in the night sky who sees fixed stars and a fixed earth that's in the middle of it all. Still with that limited knowledge, the poet says, creation is stunning. This week, friends, creation went on without any of us attending to it. Creation happened independent of me and you. Sunrise and sunset, lightning and thunderstorms, not here, but somewhere. Lightning and thunder and rainbows, flowers and bushes blooming and birds chirping. The Grand Canyon just sat there all week in all of its glory, independent of anything we did. Creation is stunning, the poet says in Psalm 8. And that leads the poet to the soul-searching question. What are humans? Not a philosophical, it's not a scientific question. The question has a qualifier. What are humans that you're mindful of us? What are humans that you remember and visit us, the poet says. What are we? Not how do you do this, God? How do you get around to managing everything? Not that. What are humans that you remember and you visit us? It's a human question, a soul-searching question in the middle of the poem. The poet sees the vast creation and has this appropriate response, an appropriate humility. Humility in this poem isn't to make us feel small or weak or insignificant. Humility in this poem is help us understand our place in the story, who we really are in this story. We are not God, yes, and yet we have this place in God's world, crowned with glory and honor. God is extraordinary, creation is stunning, and humans are a little less than divine, the poet said, and many of you murmured. You can tell it's the end of the school year because it's just one question, fill in the blank. Students don't want tests, teachers don't want to grade. Humans are a little less than divine. Humans are not sloths or worms. Humans are not slugs or sinners in the hands of an angry God. Humans are a little less than divine. Humans are God's stand-ins. Humans are God's representatives, God's representation. And this is all humans. Not just monotheists, not just Protestants, not just Seventh-day Adventists, not just disciples of Jesus, not just people who are spiritual but not religious in the world, not just people who are all grown up. I look in the balcony and I see all the children and I look out here and I see your faces. The psalmist says all humans today, right now, kids, wherever you're sitting, right now you're just a little lower than divine. Not college educated, not able-bodied, everyone, all humans, just a little lower than divine. Psalm 8 speaks that old creation story into our daily lives this morning. Humans taking up the civilizing work that all of creation depends on. A family asked for a visit a few years ago, many, many years ago, actually, because the family wasn't getting along. A lot of children, when I sat down in the home and listened to all the storytelling, we got to the youngest child in the family, and I asked her, "What is the problem?" And she said, "The problem is just everybody bosses me. They all have the power, and I just want to be in charge of something. Yes, she's a little lower than divine. The old creation story and Psalm 8 reminds us again that everyone shares God's power. It's fragile in God's story because God shares it. God hopes we will rule but not ruin things. God hopes we will have dominion but not domination. God knows there will be subordination but not subjugation. Like the little girl in the home, I just want to be in charge of something. Yes, she is. All humans, a little lower than divine. And when it comes to the planet Earth, friends, the psalmist reminds us, the poet tells us boldly, we do not answer to the EPA or the Sierra Club or to Heal the Bay or to Greenpeace or the 1% Club. We answer to our sovereign when it comes to taking care of our planet. This has changed in your lifetime, those of you sitting here, hasn't it? The older of you, let me speak to the older of you, my parents' age and older. This has changed in our lifetime. I remember struggling with an older church member in a different location, and he said to me, Chris, God gave us all these resources. What do you mean we have to take care of them and not exploit them? They're gifts from God. You just don't know what our lives were like before electricity and cars and water we didn't have to carry. He grew up in another country, in another place. So when I say to him, we answer to our sovereign, no, Chris, these things are for our resources, but then we remember. We go to the Revelation story. We even heard the choir sing about it this morning. The New Jerusalem descends and comes here, friends. This place God creates new. The psalmist reminds us, creation is stunning, humans a little less. We have this place then, the old creation story. It sings into our lives today. I don't know if you came this morning in a little bit of a cranky place, then hear Psalm 8. You're just a little less than divine, even if you're cranky. I don't know if you came in this morning in a useless place in your life. You're still just a little less than divine. Did you feel selfish this week? Greedy? Were you in a prideful place, a judgmental place, a weak place? Did you feel critical and cynical this week? Maybe some of us are in a flagrant or unforgiving place. Hear the psalm this morning. Even there, we are all just a little less than divine. If that doesn't bring tears to our eyes, what would? At my most shameful moment this week, I could name more than one. At my worst this week, I'm still a little less than divine and ever so useful as God's representative. The old creation story sings to us in Psalm 8. It ends just as it began. And yes, we ought to hear the refrain differently. O Lord, our sovereign, O Lord, our God, O Lord, with all the power who has shared it with us, O Lord, who expects that we'll cultivate goodness in your earth, O Lord, you did all of that with us? How majestic is your name in all the earth. We hear it different when we come to the end of the refrain. Sometimes in our cycles of prayers for ourselves, Psalm 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, prayers for ourselves. Sometimes in our cycles of prayers for ourselves, we have to stop and praise and pray to God. I think of that rhythm of interrupting my prayers for myself, the rhythm of interrupting that and simply turning pure praise towards the heavens. It changes our perspective where we are today. Every person involved in Psalm 8, a little lower than divine, we're signing cards for emancipated minors. We hope you'll give more gift cards. We can use some more. They'll all get a gift from this church and a message of encouragement from us because they're a little lower than divine. Even though they have no place to live after they graduate out of foster care in a few weeks, they're a little lower than divine. At the resource fair tomorrow, come and see what's available to people who need it in our community, because those on the margins in our community are also a little lower than divine. I met on Thursday night late. I was cranky after a long week of meetings. I moved from the university over here, answered a few emails, and went home. At 8 o'clock, there's a gentleman sitting on the front steps of the church. I came out the front door, and he jumped and ran, really skittish. He turned around, and he said, I'm not dangerous. I said, I'm not either. I'm just sitting on the steps of your church. I said, that's fine. Steps are for sitting. He came back and sat down. He was not real coherent, I'll just tell you the truth. Not real coherent, I don't know what he was on, but he is a neighbor. And when he realized I wasn't going to hurt him or kick him away, he said, I'm destitute. He told me his story, a housing problem. But he's largely fixed it already. I said, sounds like you've solved your problem, haven't you? And he said, well, I guess I have. So do you have $2? I said, I don't, but if it turns out you need more help with your Section 8 housing, come back to this office in the morning. There's a social worker here who can help you find housing. Oh, thank you, and he came in real close for a big old slobbery kiss right here. And we're just like right about here. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh, here it comes, oh no. Asked him his name, told him my name, said goodnight. Came in the church, washed my face. Our friend Michael in the apartments behind the church who needs Section 8 housing is also a little lower than divine. Psalm 8 is clear about this. When we find ourselves attempting to master our own stories and our own communities, the me first reality, friends, I struggle with it every week. What do we do when we find we're struggling with the me first? Let our language orient us. Maybe reading Psalm 8 every day would help. If you're looking for a piece of scripture to memorize, do Psalm 8. If you're looking for scripture to put in your children's lunchbox, make it Psalm 8. If you're looking for scripture that you'll use while you're exercising, I've been saying Psalm 8 on the treadmill, on the bike path. I've been saying it in the grocery store. I've been saying it on the 91 freeway. I've been saying it on our campuses. I've been saying it in my office. I even said Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, while I watched a cockroach die in my backyard. Remember, we talked about this a few months ago. It's called dislocated exegesis. Read the scripture around the world and see how it comes alive. I've been reading Psalm 8 for a couple of weeks, but I found out one part of my problem, I'm only reading the first two verses. I never got all the way through. Read all of it. Make it our text. This is the first text of the first sermon I preached when I came to be the lead pastor here. In 2009, I listened to a sermon this week. I had forgotten about that until a couple of weeks ago. I wish I would have studied daily and preached more regularly Psalm 8. Everything we need for God's story is here. Let our language orient us. Make Psalm 8 part of your regular diet. Let the community assist us. It's the benefit of being in community. This story that I told in 2009, I had forgotten. It remains a favorite story. On the campaign trail, because we can't really talk about any of the current candidates in this year's cycle, here's a story from Jimmy Carter when he's running for governor of his state, right? He's in Georgia, they're on the campaign trail, he's early in the morning at a cafe, at a diner, eating a stack of pancakes, they call them hotcakes in the South. He wants more butter for his hotcakes, and he asks for more butter, and the waitress won't give him any more. And he thinks that's a little odd. Maybe she's just forgotten him. So a second time, he asks for butter for his hotcakes, and she just brushes him aside until he's getting a little irritated, so he sends his secret service officer, over to talk to the wait staff. The guy wants some butter. Can you just get him some butter? So the server comes back to the table, stands right next to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter says to her, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No. I am Jimmy Carter, candidate for governor of this fine state." She nodded her head. And then she said to Jimmy Carter, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I am the keeper of the butter." "You're not all that, President Jimmy Carter," later in his life. Maybe the community can help us, friends, when we forget that we're not all that. When we forget God sits on the throne, we don't. When we forget Christians are not in charge of God's story, Adventists are not given a particular status higher than anyone else. When we forget our place, allow the community to help us. Can we help ourselves? If we can't, what are we doing here? Let the language orient us. Read Psalm 8 often. Let the community help. And let the Bible also reorient. Remember, Genesis 1 begins with "in the beginning." Put your finger there and go all the way to the end of this story in Revelation 22. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." The story, God's story, begins with God, not humans. God, not some privileged species, and the story ends with a God who will make all things new. As the choir sang earlier, they enter Zion singing God's story. I also remember we discussed in March of 2009 the Apollo 11 mission. So was someone here born in 1967? Any of you? Oh, good, we got one at least back up here, 1967. Are you close? No, you're not going to admit it because you know that means you'd soon be 50. Some of you in this room remember when the astronauts went in the first manned space mission to the moon, the 1969 mission. If we could see from their vantage point, maybe Psalm 8 would sound different as they landed and they stepped out of their lunar module with an olive branch and the American flag and a plaque, a commemorative message. When they landed there, President Nixon made what he calls one of the most historic phone calls ever, probably. Listen.
The President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you. Over.
That would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with the in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to earth.
Did you hear his sentence? This is certainly one of the most historic phone calls ever. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become part of man's world. And you get already in the congratulatory message, the tension there. We can't make the heavens part of our world, can we? No, we can't make. The heavens are already God's world. God doesn't join us on planet Earth. We join God in God's great story. When we are tempted to get that backwards, let Psalm 8 help us. Let the community help us. Let the Bible reorient us. It so happens that in the silicon disk that they left on the moon, embedded with 73 messages we can now all read because they're at the NASA website, from 73 different countries, congratulatory messages of all kinds, really, most of them very proud of the achievement, which humans ought to be. But it is the Vatican that embedded and compressed on this small silicone disc these words: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You made glory higher than heaven. Your glory is higher than the heaven. From the mouths of nursing babes, you've laid a strong foundation because of your foes in order to stop vengeful enemies. When I look at your skies, when I look at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you paid attention to them? You have crowned them. You've made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet, all sheep and cattle. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. One small nation got it right. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, be our majestic Lord this week. We courageously make space for your sovereign power. We responsibly acknowledge our place a little lower than the divine. Help us to rule in civilizing ways and not ruin the good story you have in motion. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.